Can I just let you guys know real quick, by the way, the Carly Bachelorette party was this past weekend, and currently on the chair in our living room is glitter upon glitter, and this is as I'm pacing the floor. I see glitter on the chair. I walk into the kitchen, and I just want you to know there are two lollipops that are shaped like dicks sitting on my counter.
Of course.
Oh, is that from the Bachelorette party?
Yeah. No, they're for training.
Yeah, no, there was a straw shaped as a penis in the back of my trunk for quite a long time after my ex-wife's bachelorette party.
I was waiting for you to say after the divorce. Like, damn, dude, you took it pretty hard.
You never know what you're going
to do. Well, yes, I did, up my ass.
The character planted in the audience that you'd never expect to be on the payroll. And when she plays her big scene, she creates more heat than you could ever imagine. Now here's the secret. She's a stunt granny.
What's going on, ladies and germs, Stunt Galaxy, grandkids? Welcome to probably the most special edition of Stunt Granny Audio we've ever done in our 200 audio history. Why? Because it's audio number 200, and we got a full house tonight. Eric Nelson here, along with, and let's do this in order of seniority, Dusty Giebink. How are you this fine evening?
Oh, since we got a full house, cut it out.
Jeremy Mays.
Hello, everybody.
Friday. How
I'm
you
here.
Doing?
I'm doing good. How are you?
That's a rhetorical question. Kevin
yes.
DeFrango, how you been, buddy?
I'm doing good, and I just want to know if Dusty did the hand gesture as he said, cut it out.
You know that I did, Kevin. Don't even pretend.
Outstanding.
And you didn't do it with your dead hand? That's buried underground like this fool on the hill.
Right, and my feet aren't a fake mustache, by the way.
Oh, my God.
Yep.
One of these days, people, we're going to do an audio on conspiracy theories. In fact, I think there's a conspiracy theory about why we haven't done an audio on conspiracy theories yet.
Well, no, there's no conspiracy. It's a logic theory. And the logic theory is that you're a pussy whipped like a son of a bitch.
Mm-hmm. Which explains why in about 45 to 50 minutes you're going to hear me run like a scalded dog as soon as Carly gets home.
Right.
So, God forbid
And that's another audio we need to have, by the way, where I need to, you and I need to talk, and I need to lecture you about how if she's not going to let you do an audio now, why do you think it's going to be different when you're married?
Trust me. I understand. And here's going to be the worst part of the whole thing. The fact that I, just so you people know, we do this over freeconferencecall.com, which means that we've got a PIN and a password for the host. And I'm the dummy who decided to actually host this one. So when she shows up and I need to get going and my reception suddenly cuts out, I don't know if the show's going to have recorded or not. So anyway, just throwing it out there.
No, you know what? I think that worked okay. When Dan and I were coming back from Resolution last year, my phone actually cut out and it kept recording when he was on his phone, even though we were in the same vehicle.
Fantastic. Glad
to hear. At least I think it should be okay.
There you go. So we shall have no technical difficulties on audio number 200. What a milestone! Jeremy, I'm going to throw this one at you because your article at Pro Wrestling Torch, PWTorch.com, a long time ago was the impetus for us starting the show and this website. Did you ever think we'd reach number 200?
No, but I think we're far past 200, actually.
Like, yes,
you know,
we are.
With all the reviews, interviews, the 0.5 shows, and whatever else, we're probably about 250 by now.
Yep.
So 200 seems like, you know, not that much of a milestone at all.
Yeah, no, I mean, we do how many? We do all the previews for WrestleMania, and we don't number those at all.
Mm-hmm.
By match.
That's a good point. Yeah, so this, okay, so this not being the 200th time we've gotten on the telephone together with each other makes it immediately a whole lot less special. However, maybe once we get into the news you can use, maybe things will get even more special. Who knows? What do you say?
Well, I'm watching something special. Well, I was. It's that commercial now, so I probably should shut this shit off. I'm not going to pay attention at all.
Jesus.
I'm like seeing a monster running through the streets of England, or London, excuse me. Just waiting for it to climb a clock tower.
Jeremy's still on Two-Headed Girl Patrol, by the way, for those of you who are regular listeners of the show.
Is that when the Hunchback of Notre Dame took place? I call me stupid. I cannot think.
No, France, you schmuck.
That's right. As soon as I said it out loud, I was like, oh, no, that's not where it was at all. Hopefully no one will call me on it.
So. I thought it took place in South Bend, Indiana.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, where's the guy who rings the bell?
I got to keep my eye on him at all times.
Oh, man. Hey, Kevin, did we decide if we're going to use your top five news or my top five news that I contributed after I forgot to read your top five news, or a hybrid of both?
I liked everything. I did not get a chance to read anything about Chikara, so.
Yeah. That's fine.
Yeah.
We can really gloss over that. That's fine. Mm-hmm. Let's see. How about we throw out a topic here that you and I both kind of overlap on? Let's talk about the tag team division in WWE. And, my God, Jim Ross, he probably just had a big old boner sitting at ringside this week because he got to talk about how exciting the new tag team division is in WWE. And, Kevin, I'm going to start with you because as you threw this out here, you said, and this is as we were emailing each other trying to figure out what to talk about, just as the tag team division is gaining some traction, we get a comedy tag team of former champs thrown together, and will the WWE use this time to build up lower card teams? Well, here's how I framed it up. Kane and Daniel Bryan, they form a tag team, and it's taken off like wildfire. Who'd have thunk it? So, Kevin, I'm going to throw this at you first. What do you make of the Daniel Bryan-Kane tag team and the tag team situation in general?
Well, no, so the segments are funny, so I'm not really surprised. And I guess a while ago I had advocated the position that if you don't have anything better for two main event wrestlers, what the hell's the problem with throwing them together for a short time in the tag team division?
Yeah.
Because I mean, they've done it a number of times, because that's the one amusing thing, because I think Jim Ross is like, oh, I have a hard time thinking of a more formidable team, and they're like, buzzing over Big Show and Jericho was the first thing that popped into my head as a recent teaming of world champs together in one collective.
Yep. I would say they're pretty formidable.
Yeah, so I don't know. Did that answer your question, or did I just completely go off on another tangent?
No, I think that answered the question. Dusty, I heard you when Kevin said something about putting singles former champs together. It sounded like, did you agree with that idea? Did you think that was a good idea?
Yeah, you know, I mean, they don't have anything else to do. So it's either that or be used not properly. So in that sense, sure. It is kind of a booking shortcut, but they've been doing it forever, so I should be used to it by now.
I feel like there are ways to do it right, and there are ways to do it wrong.
Hmm.
With everything, of course, but, a temporary thing like Steve Austin and Shawn Michaels in 97, maybe not the best example. Edge and Randy Orton back in 2006, 7, 8, whatever that was, good example.
Mm-hmm.
Jeremy, where do you land on this?
I don't mind the team up. I agree with Dusty that they didn't really have anything to do with them or anything for them to do. And, again, that booking shortcuts. And Dusty kind of nailed it on that one. But it seems like at least both of them have gone in on the whole gimmick. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
They turned around that hideous segment of the hug it out thing. And they've kind of worked it into the team, like the chemistry between them. I mean, Daniel Bryan using it last night to steal the belt off of Kane's shoulders. He obviously can't physically match up to him. I don't know. Kane doesn't seem to want to retire anytime soon, so they had to come up with something for him. So it doesn't seem to be a bad idea. And really, Daniel Bryan's only been there, what, 2 years? 3 years? Something like that.
Yeah.
They already have like, 2 or 3. 2, I think.
Yeah. So, you know, I don't mind the D push, if you want to look at it that way, and give them a tag team run.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, you can't be serious all the time, and this isn't actually one of those runs that's going to screw them up for the long run, at least not yet. So,
you know what?
It's also
comedy
that's actually funny, so that's a bonus.
That's a bonus. See, that's why I don't think this is a deep push. I mean, granted, with the wrong writers and the wrong people, this thing could go in all the wrong directions, so maybe we just happen to strike gold, but to me, this isn't a deep push. This is, like, great use of TV time for two guys who they didn't have anything for. It's almost like anybody. It's like if a person complains that the last pay-per-view main event ended in a draw. You know what? A draw done right is fine. It's not fundamentally wrong just because it's a draw. Mm-hmm. And this isn't fundamentally wrong because it's two singles paired up. So I think we kind of all agree on that.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin, what about the rest of the tag team scene, though? I mean, you asked if this was an opportunity to build up lower card teams. Well, look who we've got. Primetime players, Epico and Primo, and help me think of anybody else right now.
Rey Mysterio and Sin Cara.
Rey and Sin Cara, Kofi and Truth, yeah.
Yeah, and I wasn't sure if they are break. Just I know that Justin Gabriel had the singles match, but I think if him and Tyson Kidd, if they left them a team, that would be something viable. Who knows if they're keeping those two guys together or not, because they haven't really shown up since the four-way match on SmackDown.
Mm-hmm.
But that is the problem, is that, well, they could use their time far better on Raw, and I buzz through SmackDown now in approximately an hour because there's at least 40 minutes of Raw recap in there.
Ugh. Yeah. It's an infomercial.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I think they actually waste more time on their program than ROH does, which is a surprising development.
Shades of Velocity.
That's a great meta reference. That's so meta it makes me want to eat my own shit.
Okay.
Well, and if we're going back to where things originally started, it was as good as Heat.
Yeah.
Hey, Jeremy, do you want to talk about Heat?
No, I got rid of that gig a long time ago. That's okay. Awful,
yeah.
Jonathan Coachman shit.
The only thing I liked about Heat was the time that I went down to Des Moines Live and brought a sign. Don't remember what the sign said. It might have been my holdover Batista sign from Kansas City. And I rolled it up into a horn, and I yelled at Todd Grisham, "Grish, you suck!" And he and Coach look over at me like, "What the hell was that?" And I pointed at myself.
I just remember, I know Dustin and I talked about this on one of the old audio experiences, when Raw came here to Greenville, and they still had Sunday Night Heat back then. And Coachman came out, and I just lost my shit. I mean, violent screaming at Jonathan Coachman, just screaming, "I hate you, fucking die," just all sorts of nasty shit. It was an immediate, intense reaction. That's pretty
much, he sure showed you, huh?
Yeah, now he's on SportsCenter, so fuck me. What do I know?
Right. Oh, that's funny. That just means he's got a personality to co-host things alongside Stuart Scott.
No. Yeah,
oh,
true.
God.
That doesn't mean much.
Mega-eyed piece of shit.
Well, Dusty, I was actually going to ask you, too. So, Kevin, I didn't read the parenthetical part of his news you can use suggestion here, but he said as far as the tag team division goes, not that it'll ever be back to the level it was in the 1980s. What do you think of that? Is that even possible? And what do you think of the tag team scene of today?
Not with the current booking, not with their focus, and they don't seem to give a shit about the mid-card at all. And used to be you take a tag team and then work the guy all the way up through the ranks, and now it's just former main eventers or former champions.
Yeah.
You know, it's a totally different perspective, and they don't really take tag teams seriously. Sorry, James Gutman, but no, so it'll never be like it was in the 80s, and it just won't. It's just not going to happen that way.
Yeah,
you're never
going
to see a team brought in for the sole purpose of being a team with the matching outfits and the matching looks, you know, like the Rougeaus or the Beverly Brothers or the Powers of Pain or whatever, you know. You're not going to see that anymore.
Yeah, now aside from brother and family tag teams, which makes sense to pair them up, do you think in this day and age it would be passé to do the kind of demolition thing where you trot out two guys from the start who have the same costumes and the same this and the same that? Or do you think that's something that could still get over?
It could still get over. I don't see why not. You know, you got to program the fans to know that these guys are badasses and they want the tag belts and that's it, you know?
Yep. Or, you know, swap out R-Truth's jeans, his JNCO jeans, for some green Speedos. And I mean, that would be about all they'd have in common, but at least
right.
They'd have something.
Oh, you don't think they should carry big boom boxes?
What
ring
was it?
No?
Boom box Kofi radio on or whatever it was. The stereotype.
The stereotype. Nice. I love it.
There you go. I don't know. Jeremy, I got an oddball question for you.
Yeah.
Who's your favorite tag team of all time?
Ooh. Of all time?
Yeah, you're on the spot.
Ooh. Oh, yeah.
I almost said British Bulldogs, but...
But then you thought of who else?
But then I thought of the Hart Foundation. But then I thought, no, the Midnight Express.
No.
To me, there's nobody else after that. I mean, I love the entire... And that was one of the going back, way back. Oh, nostalgia. That was my first column I ever wrote, was why I started watching wrestling. It was Jim Cornette, the Midnight Express, taking on the Rock and Roll Express. And
cool.
No, just, I like the Stan Lane, Bobby Eaton version, but I love the Dennis Condrey, Bobby Eaton version. They just looked, I don't know, as a little kid, Dennis Condrey just looked mean. He just looked like a mean man. Even, I mean, by not today's standards, I look a lot meaner than he does. So it doesn't really say much. But back then, I mean, they were the shit. I cheered for them all the time. Even though they were bad guys.
Well, and the thing with those guys, with that pairing, is with Sweet Stan, there's a possibility that he's sweet. With Loverboy Dennis, there's no chance he's a Loverboy.
No.
Instant heel heat.
I'm quiet because I'm trying to find a recent picture of Demolition. Did you guys see this?
Yeah, I've seen him recently.
Yeah.
It just looks sad.
Yeah, you can see through all the face paint. You can see Bill Eadie's jowls just hanging there. And,
yeah.
You know, Barry Darso is never going to have a skullet again, so.
Bill Eadie looks like the most depressed person in the world. It's really sad.
He's a sad clown.
Yeah, usually if you're a depressed looking person, you don't wear makeup that accentuates how depressed you look.
Yeah.
Oh well, I can't find it. Damn it.
Funny. Well, when you do find it, tweet it out for everybody. At Stunt.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to do.
Laugh, clown, laugh.
Yeah, but no, the Midnight Express thing, it actually kind of goes back to what you're saying about like dressing up two guys and looking the same.
Yeah.
I mean, they kind of did that. The last I can really remember was La Resistance. Or is that my...
Mm.
Yeah, that was the name, right? Or am I thinking of South Park?
Yeah, no, you're right. No, that was right, yeah. Sylvain
okay.
Grenier and René Dupuis and eventually Robert Conway.
Yeah. But I'm trying to think of somebody else after that. I mean, Kofi Kingston and Evan Bourne tried doing that, and then they named themselves Air Boom, so it was clearly never going to work.
Yeah, that was a fart sound waiting to happen.
Yeah. But I mean, I think, you know, I'm just I guess I'm just going to be Dusty's parrot. But, yeah, I mean, if you want to get these guys over as being something, they could work just fine.
Yeah.
But you'd have to, but you have to keep them, you have to make sure and establish them as a team. And I think that's the problem. You know, they've got this burgeoning tag team division of a bunch of singles wrestlers that have nothing going on outside of the, well, I guess primetime players are the one that stood out the most. But then Epico and Primo, she's like, yeah, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because they don't, and it goes back to having a name, too. The most successful tag teams ever had a name.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got to know the people, you've got to know the names of that, of the people in the team. So.
Yeah, and the teams, the team wasn't Air Boom. Granted, I don't know, Strike Force is kind of stretching it.
Yeah, that
striking
with Force. That's our name. Strike Force Brothers. Oh, God damn.
And
then Rick Martel walks out on him. That was fitting.
Yeah.
So.
Well, he was tired of carrying the weight. I can't blame him.
Got that right.
He is a loser.
Yes!
Strike Force is supposed to be a team, a team. I don't team with that loser. He is a loser.
Didn't Gene swear in that? Gene swore all the goddamn time.
He almost swore in that one.
Oh, did he? Okay.
Just complete disgust for Rick Martel.
Well, I don't know. Get over it. You know.
I love how late in his WCW career, Mean Gene, all Vince Russo and Ed Ferrara booked him to do was stand there with a microphone next to a hot chick, and then when she was done ranting, he turned to her and said, blow it out your ass. And that was like a whole gimmick.
Yeah.
Put that cigarette out. Hey, I've got a question now, off topic, but since we talked about Demolition, this is just very rapid fire, yes or no, and maybe a brief thought to go along with it. Because the four of us combined probably are not as up to speed on Chikara as others, but this weekend was the King of Trios tournament, and the point of this tournament is a bunch of six-man tag team matches. And I got to run through some of these names here. This is going to take me a couple of minutes, but there are some Chikara teams, like, whatever. And if they're not, whatever. Fucking Quackenbush can find me and correct me. But whoever the Batiri is, the Colony is made up of ants. Fist is Chuck Taylor, Johnny Gargano, and someone else. Those are some guys. These are some guys. Fucking some other dorks. Well, anyway, let me just cut to the chase here. It seems like for the last couple of years, they've brought in some old names just for the thing about Chikara is they're supposed to be funny. And so what they do is they go out and find these old names that people might think are funny or, you know, that people still have some respect for. Maybe these guys can work. So let me throw out a few names here. Six-man tag team called the Extreme Trio, Jerry Lynn, Tommy Dreamer, and Too Cold Scorpio. Team WWF, the 1-2-3 Kid, Aldo Montoya, and Tatanka. Remember what all three of those guys looked like last time we saw them. Let's see. Whoever these two were, and Tito Santana was there. And then let me just throw out this last one. This is the last one made up of three guys that this just killed me. As soon as I heard this, I fell in love with the idea. And then the more I thought about it, I fell out of love with it. The Faces of Pain. Mang, the Barbarian, and the Warlord. All got together to team up. So, keeping that in mind, like 16 different teams of six-man tags, and it comes down to the end, and blah, 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 and whatever. Plus, they have a fan festival all weekend and stuff like that. So, I'm going to go through in rapid fire, just a real quick thought. Dusty, knowing this lineup and knowing what the event's all about, is this something you would pay money to see?
If it was within an hour of my place, yeah.
What attracts you more about it? Is it the old names? Is it the six-man tag? Is it the fan fest? Or is it a little bit everything?
Yeah, it's a combination of everything. I you know, six-man tags I have an appreciation for, and it'd be awesome to see the old. I love that Ming Barbarian Warlord team. I'd love to see them, you know.
Yeah.
Obviously, they're only going to work once probably, but whatever. You know, it's a special attraction kind of thing, and if the price was right, I'd go see it.
Cool. Kevin, what about you, given these names and knowing the shape that Aldo Montoya, would you like some Parmesan on that, is in?
Well, he might be able to give me some cooking tips. So, you know, hey, why wouldn't, oh, hold on, no, he probably cooks more poorly than I do. But, yeah.
He'd probably give you some busing tips, but.
Yeah, the Colony is, I'm trying to think of where I saw them somewhat recently. That's what it was. That jobber organization, ROH, had them on one time, and I had a good laugh at their whole act, actually. And if they're trying to go for funny, I think they are accomplishing funny. And if Gargano is part of any faction, I'm down with that. He's a good wrestler, and he's a good time to watch. So, yeah, hey, I drive 2.5 hours to go up and see a show in Cleveland. So if we're going in Dusty Realm there, it's only an hour away. Oh, yeah, I'm in.
All right. Jeremy, what do you think? I heard you kind of scoff or some sort of reaction when you heard that Warlord, Barbarian, and Mang Teeth.
Yeah, you are soaked in disgust, Jeremy.
No, that was a positive.
Okay.
Oh, as dumb as that sounds, I was like, oh, really? I don't know. I always had a soft spot for Mang. I guess it was when he grew the hair out, you know. But even when he was Haku, I fucking loved him. I have no idea why. You know, the powers of pain or whatever, you know, take them or leave them. But I don't know. When they had that WWE, was it the alumni section? And they had Ming in there. The dude looked like he was still in shape.
Yeah.
And that was a couple of years ago. So it's like, well, maybe he wouldn't embarrass himself, you know, by showing up. Everybody else, though? I mean,
I gotta think Barbarian's gonna stay young his entire life, or at least some level young. Not to mention, I feel like he's gonna be a guy that you're not gonna want to fuck with the Barbarian at any age.
No,
I think
Warlord was always the guy that never impressed me, even though he was the bigger of the two.
Yeah,
it was just like, eh, whatever. But no, call it Team Extreme. Who'd you say it was? Jerry Lynn, Tommy Dreamer, and who? It doesn't. It doesn't matter. I mean, it's too cool. I don't understand. Oh, okay. Who wants to pay to see those guys? I don't understand. I mean, we talked about this too. I don't understand this nostalgia kick. It's just sad to me.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why I brought up that picture of Demolition. It's just sad. You know.
Yeah.
And so I don't really enjoy things like that. Just seeing these broken down men slowly pacing around the ring. But then I'll be a hypocrite and go, I'd go see Ming, see what he was all about. I mean, especially if it was close. Why the hell not? I don't know.
You hypocrite.
Never right in the ring, but whatever.
I got it. No, this could be a DVD that I might seek out. So, you know what? I mean, if it was close, I'd be there in a heartbeat. I'm not going to lie. I'm a nostalgia nerd. I'd be there without a question. And I would
I don't mind nostalgia as long as it's not sad.
As long as it's not sad. Actually, at one point, I thought I heard Marty Jannetty was... No, he was there. He was there the second or third night, actually, teaming up with 1-2-3 Kid, and they won a gauntlet match. So, you want to talk... Actually, what I would really like is for me and Dusty to go to a show where Marty Jannetty was there, and then afterward, go to the hotel bar and recreate the picture of Marty with his arms around those two women.
Yeah, I actually looked at that picture yesterday. and it had Mateen Cheeseburger in the background on one of the TVs.
Yes. That's awesome. Was there an arrow pointing to his degrees?
Huh? I didn't hear you.
I said, was there an arrow pointing to his degrees?
No. No, unfortunately, no.
Okay.
Oh, and Dusty, just to let you know, you've only got until next Saturday to ever go to a wrestling show with Eric again, so you guys should probably start planning that out.
Yeah, I'm sure that'll happen.
Yeah,
what a wonderful idea with only 10 days left.
Well, like my dad said the other day, it's not too late.
You apparently weren't reading your emails this afternoon then. So.
I may go see Teenage Bottle Rocket the night after we get back from our honeymoon. Only because I'm putting Max up to buying our tickets and claiming to Carly that it was a surprise. Oh, I didn't know Max was going to buy me tickets to Teenage Bottle Rocket the night after we get back from our honeymoon. Sorry, got to go.
Yeah.
Hey, Dusty, do you just want to do this, that lecture now and just take up, like, the rest of the time on this audio?
Listen, I don't know what to tell you.
You dumbass, you can't be sneaking shit. You're not even married yet.
I mean,
that's not a good way to start.
Yeah.
You get back from your honeymoon, and you're like, oh, I'm going to lie already. Like, we just happen to have these tickets. Especially if somebody emails your, just happens to accidentally email your master plan to your, I almost gave out. Damn, that would have been bad. But,
to our wedding account.
Yeah, that's it. Thank you.
Yeah. You sons of bitches.
God damn.
Shout out to Steve Williams, who wants to hug it out with us.
There you go.
Shout out.
That's awesome. I'm going to throw a shout-out to Keish while we're at it, too, who wants to do a show with us at some point. And I know this has been in discussions, but we got some beer drinkers here in the crowd, so I think a good cross-promoted full-pint stunt granny audio needs to be in the works.
Absolutely.
Let's see. Well, I don't know. We talked about those guys. We talked about Chikara, which they probably got more time tonight than we've ever given them.
Yeah.
I'm curious to go back to WWE here. I think this is interesting that it looks like WWE is going to rely on CM Punk versus John Cena for yet another pay-per-view main event, this time next month at Hell in a Cell. And actually, I say that, but let's check out prowrestling.net, unless anybody knows off the top of their head. Is there an updated timeline for John Cena's ankle injury, surgery, and return?
They said 2 to 3 weeks. It was 4 to 6 at first, but he has to be back for Hell in a Cell.
Oh, okay, here we go. And it's maybe Powell had a mistype or something, but he said Cena's having elbow surgery. Is this something that I wasn't aware of, I wonder?
Yeah, right. That came out of the blue. I don't remember.
Robert Kelly, shout out. WWE.com has learned that Cena had surgery to remove bone chips in his elbow. Dr. James Andrews removed several pieces of bone cartilage from Cena's elbow through a scope. A surgery like this will take 4 to 6 weeks.
Gotcha. Good deal. Ah, yeah. Okay. This is funny. Well, first of all, two things now that you mention that. First of all, it looks like WWE has 6 weeks between pay-per-views, so it's possible that they put off this surgery until then, knowing that Cena would need some time off and knowing how desperately they need him to main event a pay-per-view. The other thought being, Dusty, did you say James Andrews?
Yes, that's the go-to guy.
He is the go-to doctor, but to me it's funny. As soon as you said his name, I thought he's the guy who used to fuse necks and up ACLs and stuff like that. Now he's just digging out bone chips. Like,
yep.
Have the mighty fallen?
Maybe by design, he probably wants a lighter workload. I don't know.
Well, that could be. He's paid his dues. Next time we see him,
now.
he's gonna be the guy flushing out Heath Slater's ears.
Yeah. And do the knock on the knee thing. He's that guy.
he'll just be the guy sneaking down hoagies to Cliff Huxtable's office.
Give birth to a hoagie and an orange soda.
Oh, Jesus. I don't know, Dusty, what do you think? If this is the main event for the next pay-per-view, this is the secondary pay-per-view in a row, and the third one in recent memory, if you count Money in the Bank last year, secondary pay-per-view that these guys have main evented. What do you think?
Real fresh, real exciting. Yeah. Really shows how innovative they are in their booking and keep things fresh all the time. Once again, beating that dead horse, it's a product of having too many pay-per-views every year. You get the same matches all the time.
Yeah. Do you think the fact that they're having good matches balances that out?
I don't know, I guess. It's better than having a bad match, I guess. But
Is it better to have one bad match, one good match at one pay-per-view that draws 800,000, or you know, or I guess
yeah.
what we're getting now?
They're probably going to draw the same no matter what. So I don't know. I don't know what that means exactly. Does that mean they might as well do what they're keep doing? You know what they're doing? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know, Jeremy. I heard you. It's funny because I'm throwing to guys basically because I hear you make noise in the background. What do you think, Jeremy? We got Punk and Cena having great matches constantly. And again, I guess my point was they're not main eventing SummerSlam and Survivor Series. They're main eventing Night of Champions.
I don't know. I was listening to what Dusty said, and it kind of makes sense. To keep going, I think due to the amount of pay-per-views, you're gonna kind of repeat main events now, because I don't know, it's one of those damned if you do things, because if you have what they do with Chris Jericho and Dolph Ziggler, just take that for example. I know it's not a main event, but You had that match on pay-per-view, and then, you know, they had to get rid of Jericho, so they had it the next day, a rematch right again. So you can do that, but then it doesn't seem, like, for something like Cena Punk, you can't really do that, because it kind of shortchanges the importance of it, I guess.
Yeah.
But again, it's also part of the booking problem that, you know, there's not a whole lot of guys in main event. And I'm trying to think back when, like, when they had that rotation with Rock, Austin, Foley, and they mixed in Triple H near the end, and then Big Show. Those guys kind of main evented a lot of the pay per views too. And I don't have anything in front of me, so it may be wrong, but we didn't really complain too much back. And Undertaker too. Sorry, we didn't really complain too much back then because the match quality was good or the angle was good around it.
There you go.
And I think in this case, it's just not. Like, I didn't mind the draw, but I would rather see a time limit draw than some shitty ending. So where both shoulders are down. Well, then just go, hey, you guys are both down. Keep going. That didn't make sense, but...
Dare I say the title should be held up and there should be a tournament? Dare I say that?
You know what? That's fine.
That could be.
I could
see a
four
tournament.
4 weeks of TV. 4 weeks of TV and then a main event.
Damn.
You know, just something. But
I don't know. As a tool to get heat on Punk.
As long as the match quality is good, it's okay, I guess.
I mean, this whole thing is just a tool to get heat on CM Punk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So,
plus, I think Dusty's right. They're just going to keep going with, I think it is just the same people buying them over and over again.
Right.
And then you get, like, us who will buy WrestleManias out of the blue. You know, the neighbor won't have anything going on. So.
But then, I don't know, like, if they snuck somebody else into the main event scene, like, if it was all of a sudden Punk versus whatever the fuck, Punk versus Zack Ryder, would that turn off the people who buy all the time, you know?
Right.
And are they scared of turning off those same people, and therefore it's better to maintain the status quo?
Because there's definitely a status quo. I mean, even like, this isn't as extreme of an example, but even like CM Punk versus Randy Orton right now would not feel like a pay-per-view main event because it's not John Cena. Really, he's like the common thread in this whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're pulling a Steve Austin with him, you know, like throwing him in, like when they were throwing him in triple threat matches against Undertaker and Kane, that sort of deal. So, I don't know. It's, I don't know. You can only shake it up so much with Jeremy, as you said, so few people to choose from. Kevin, I saw that you had tweeted about our topic here. What do you think about the fact that CM Punk and John Cena are about to main event another pay-per-view?
It is kind of weird that they seem to be going towards, I don't know. To me, they're leaning towards CM Punk being the one who takes on The Rock, unless he, like, it's a, because it's a Royal Rumble that he gets title shot, correct?
Yes.
But the problem that they're having is that no matter who they put up against Cena, is that nobody ends up becoming a full-on heel because enough people still hate Cena. And I like more of what Paul Heyman is doing right now with CM Punk than he ever did with Brock Lesnar. He just kind of seemed like a boring non-entity at that point, or just like another lawyer gimmick that's just being recycled.
Heyman and Punk reminds me of Bobby Heenan and Mr. Perfect.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Great pairing.
Yes. Yep. A man who may not have needed a mouthpiece, but... Man, what a...
Hey, wait a minute. I don't disagree with you, dude, but I'm wondering, would the better example be Bobby Heenan and Ric Flair?
Oh, yeah.
Sure. Okay. I knew you were going, but then I just thought of Flair. Flair worked a little bit better than that.
Yeah, no, it was just the first thing that came to my mind.
Yeah. Yeah, but no, they both equally. They both work.
Thought out opinions and logical things coming out of my noise. So,
oh,
yeah. Well, I did get one post back here from our good friend Missy Bird, who says that they haven't quite worn out their welcome, but it seems like that bridge is going to be crossed awfully soon, even in her opinion.
Yeah. Hmm. Let's see. Just for the hell of it, by the way, I'm going through 1998 pay-per-views and looking at the main events. And I will tell you this. There are a couple of one-offs. And they had an 8-man tag main event for No Way Out just because they had time to kill between Royal Rumble and WrestleMania. The 8-man tag included Owen Hart, Chainsaw Charlie, Triple H, Billy Gunn, Jesse James, Savio Vega, okay? That doesn't count. You know, any pay-per-view now could have an 8-man tag, and Kofi and R-Truth could be in the on-one team, and it wouldn't count.
Yeah.
Shawn Michaels was in the main event of exactly one pay-per-view, we're not counting the Royal Rumble 98 casket match, because I've got Stone Cold Steve Austin winning the last match of the show. So, anyway, that being said, main eventers, 1998. Steve Austin, The Rock, Mick Foley, Kane, Undertaker. The end. Those are the guys who carried 12 months for the pay-per-views. It worked then, but again, maybe you're right. Maybe it's because of the match quality or the angle or just the general excitement of pro wrestling then, but yeah, I don't know about now.
I think we're far less excited about Cena than we are Austin, and that plays a part in it.
Oh, yeah, definitely. John Cena is not Steve Austin.
And
not by any
stretch. A quick anecdote here.
Yes.
I remember sitting in a boring, shitty high school class, and all my buddies that get together every month and watch wrestling, we were talking about something, and this guy who wasn't really in our group, he was like a shop guy,
yeah,
but he was a casual wrestling fan, and he said, "Well, you guys, you know, it's a good time to be a wrestling fan. You know, you're living in the golden age of Austin." And I remember, you know, like, well, that's a good point, but, you know, I think, you know, watching the show every week, there's going to be a point where we can get sick of Austin. There's going to be Austin overkill. And that's what we're seeing with Cena. We're seeing, you know, every week he dominates the shows and we're getting that overkill. So.
Yeah. I think I've said this a couple of times, but we're getting to be pretty prime time for John Cena to take about a year off, kind of like Hulk Hogan did during the steroid scandal.
He was filming movies.
Well, yeah, exactly. That being said, we know what happened to WWE's business when Hulk Hogan took a year off his schedule. Just business went down the toilet. And right now the water's pretty low in the toilet for WWE, so
they just flushed it and it hasn't come up.
Yeah, exactly. Or like, you know, it's still a little bit clogged from the really shitty like 2005, 2006 era, and I don't know, the ghost of Benoit is still kind of down in there, so the water doesn't want to quite come
too
all the way up because there's still something bottlenecking in there.
Too soon. Way too soon.
Oh, sorry about that. I thought I was on a statute of limitations here. I thought we were 5 years past.
No, as per wrestling ordinance, you can't even, like, mention the name, even to, like, say that he existed in any way.
I'm never going to learn the rules. Son
right.
of a bitch.
I just found it funny you said the statute of limitations was 5 years. I thought it was that five-minute barrier.
Yeah.
I remember those text messages and whatever else going back and forth almost immediately. So
yeah, no kidding.
Yeah,
well, that's why you host the asshole edition. yeah.
Oh, speaking
of shit.
Actually, one thing about Cena, and Kevin mentioned it, was like no one can really get over on Cena because the crowd still doesn't really care for him too much. I think another part of that is that match on Sunday, Cena took so many different finishing moves and continued to kick out. So, I mean, it's almost impossible for somebody to get over on Cena when he does that really in so many matches. I mean, the only guy that's happened to that it didn't work, or I'm sorry, that he lost to was Rock. Even Rock had to give him, like, two or three Rock bottles, something like that. And, I mean, that's the Rock, so you can get around it with that. But when you have someone like CM Punk, who honestly is not on the same level as John Cena, and nobody is because of his, like, no-selling. It takes almost a gunshot wound to get this guy down and to keep him down.
Yeah.
You know?
At some point, this whole thing is going to lose its credibility. At some point, you can't. I mean, you just can't. I don't know. I mean, are people going to believe it? Here's the thing. When somebody finally comes along in 2 or 3 years who's primed and ready to take over for John Cena, and they decide that they're going to put him over huge by having him beat John Cena 1-2-3 at WrestleMania, I mean, at what point is it not believable that a person is going to pin him after even, like, three versions of their finisher? I mean, so it's going to happen, and we're going to be like, yeah, bullshit. Seen this fucking movie before. And it's not like, you know, surprise false finish. That's not what I'm saying. Like, oh yeah, it's never gonna, oh my god, he kicked out. It's like, yeah, he pinned him, yeah, bullshit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, so, John Cena basically is an ROH match where no one's finisher works. So why they call it finishers doesn't make any sense. I mean, you lock in a submission move, he gets to the ropes. It just destroys the credibility of the person he's going against. It's like, okay, we get it. Cena's your top guy. It's okay. You know? I mean,
yeah.
King Kong Bundy splashes Hulk Hogan once, he goes down. You know, he does it five times, Hogan's out for a year, for months. Or
yeah.
weeks,
and
whatever
that happened
else.
Right here in my backyard, dude.
But that's really nothing to do with Cena. I just thought I'd point it out again.
I love this, by the way. So Kevin tweets, John Cena is no Steve Austin, comes out of my mouth. Would anyone have bought a pink smoking skull T-shirt? Well, on Facebook, Steve Williams writes, Austin's cause would have been liver cancer. Like my alcoholic friend.
Shout out.
Nah, that's true. He's fishing now. Like my alcoholic friend Ben once said, my liver went belly up. I'll also point out that in 1999, here were your, besides British Bulldog and Kane, here were your pay-per-view main eventers. Steve Austin, Rock, Undertaker, Mankind, Triple H, Big Show. Oh, and don't forget Vince McMahon and Shane McMahon, who each main evented more than one pay-per-view.
Oh, God.
Yeah. So, it could be worse. It could be 1999. Am I right, Dusty?
The worst year ever. Exclamation point. Still Dave Bang.
all right. Well, I'm trying to find the best thing to end on, and like I said, I've got Kevin's and mine to choose from. And mine are, a couple of mine are just really depressing. So I don't know. Are we more into talking Dolph Ziggler? And I think part of me leans toward that because we've got two of his two alums from his college here. But a part of me thinks that it's going to just turn into more bitching about the shitty booking of WWE. So, I don't know. I'd happily
we can talk about pretty much any organization's shitty booking at this point. So,
yeah. How about we just talk about the overall general down, the downturn in business? I mean, just interest wise, creativity, talent, any of that stuff.
I don't think it's the audio 205.
I mean, it's kind of silly to say since we, you know, run a wrestling site, but wrestling kind of sucks right now.
Yeah, it does.
There's no interest at all.
Okay, let me throw this out there just because you said that. And, Kevin, I'm going to start with you. Spike TV has chosen to continue Impact Wrestling live on Thursdays into December. What do you think of that idea?
Honestly, just because I view almost everything not live, it really doesn't do a whole lot of anything to me. Like, their shows haven't felt any different to me live than they were taped, aside from the fact that I can't get spoilers 3 weeks in advance. You know, I mean, that their element of surprise is the only thing that has changed to me.
Does the quality of the show, do you think that has to do with the live aspect or no? The show's been better in the last couple months, as we said, so I don't know.
I was digging it until this past week, which was like, now it just seems like they're in a complete and utter rut with everything that they were doing that was cool. The Aces and Eights storyline has gone all of nowhere in the past month. For some reason, there's a bizarre babyface versus babyface main event set up for their biggest pay-per-view of the year. And then what the hell else happened on that show? I think there were like four total matches. I mean, it was almost as bad as, a Raw. It's like, how do you only have four matches in 2 hours? So, what the shit with your original question? I keep on going.
Whether you think it's okay or whether... What is...
The quality writing will be there for a tape show or for a live show in my book. Like, good writing is good writing. Because, I mean, look at movies are done way... And, I mean, I know that we're going way overboard and not a WWE movie. But, I mean, a movie is written well ahead of time, and it's great to go and watch, you know? And it's, like, taped and edited and produced and all that good shit. It doesn't need to be live. They don't seem to whore out the social media quite as much. They kind of make one mention of Twitter when they talk about Dixie Carter. But aside from that, they're not really as interactive or not trying to be as interactive as the WWE. So that kind of takes the edge off of the whole live thing to me.
Okay. Dusty, do you think this is indicative of good programming or just anything at all, or is just a dumb company making a dumb network making a dumb decision?
I mean, yeah, that's where I would err. But it's just, you know, good, wholesome family entertainment also. That needs to be pointed out.
It is. I mean, I don't know about you, but I'd pay money to see a guy named Armbreaker wrestle.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a real family, that's a family type name.
Speaking of the family thing, that was kind of funny. My girls caught a couple of recent episodes of Impact here, and even she could tell the difference between the PG programming and the are they PG-13, I think?
Oh, gosh, I don't even know what TNA is.
Just because, she just said that she in some ways liked it better because it wasn't so dumbed down. And, that's another one of those ones where it's fun hearing someone's casual opinion of it that isn't sitting here watching way too much wrestling during their lifetime.
Yeah, that's about right. I don't know, Jeremy, what do you think about, Spike TV, are they just following blindly with TNA because it's easy to do, or are they rewarding them for some quality programming, or is that even on Spike TV's radar?
I don't know what to make of this. I thought, well, you know me, I like the live TV. That's where Dusty and I, differ. I like the spontaneity of live TV. I like the anything can happen sort of thing. I mean, especially when, you see how they edit SmackDown and really how they edited Impact for the longest time. And they started adding crowd noise of an 18,000-seat arena when there's 1,000 people maybe in there. It was very hard to watch. So I don't know why Spike would do this. Because if you look at their programming now, they've got a lot of, what do they call it? It's not reality shows, but it's like bar rescues on there. They've got some guys that buy houses and find homeless people in it.
Yeah, just like unscripted stuff, yeah.
Yeah. They're basically going to that sort of stuff. So I don't know where TNA fits in their larger scheme anyways. So to give them something like this, like another boost, probably some money to throw in so that they can run live every week. There's been no significant increase in the ratings,
mm-hmm.
If at all, actually. The quality, the show is watchable now. That's a plus.
Yeah.
But the show being watchable doesn't really mean anything. It's all ratings based. It's a strange thing because you should reward something for providing you with something more, something extra, something good. And really, it just kind of just provides you with the same shit every week. Unless, I got to figure it's got to be their highest rated show.
I think it is. I think it still is. Because no offense to Mansers, but I'm sure Mansers isn't drawing more than a 1.0.
Right. I like that show Bar Rescue. I think it's incredibly interesting. Once he gets done yelling at people like they do in all the shows. What is there, 1,000 Ways to Die, 100 Ways to Die, something like that?
Right.
I can't name anything else on the network. So it's like, well, okay.
I like that
here you
show,
go.
By the way.
What's that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I don't really watch television. What I watch is just bullshit like that.
I don't know what they were doing, but Kevin said it, at least now we don't have to sit there. We can't read spoilers, so we have to watch the show. I think that's kind of good.
Dusty, what is your difference in opinion over live television compared to what Jeremy thinks? Just to get it out there.
Well, another quick anecdote, because I'm trying to get FaceTime on this show. back when they were starting Saturday Night Live, the first person hired for Saturday Night Live was actually Albert Brooks, and they had no idea what to do with him or what the show was even going to be. But Albert Brooks butted heads with, Lorne Michaels.
Yep.
Michaels insisted that the show be live, and Albert Brooks said he preferred to be taped. And one of Brooks's reasons was, he's from Los Angeles. Every show he sees is not live,
Right.
So he never gave a shit about live shows. And that's kind of where I fall on this. I just don't give a shit. The live aspect means nothing to me, I grew up watching Superstars and Challenge and all that shit. And they weren't live, and I enjoyed, the taped atmosphere of it, and I appreciate the fact that you can fix mistakes and make it as pristine as possible before it gets to the air, and so that's kind of, just because that's what I always know, that's what I prefer.
That's a good point about superstars, and that's a good point about just, I mean, but I can see the difference in this day and age of spoilers, but at the same time, like, a compelling TV show, spoilers shouldn't matter. So I guess what I'm saying is wrestling's only compelling enough to watch it live, and if you catch the spoilers, like I honestly do as far as tape shows, or I'm not going to lie to you, nowadays, about every other week, instead of watching Monday Night Raw, I just go to .net the next morning and read the results.
Yeah.
Because, quite frankly, in this day and age of WWE, I get everything I need by reading what happened. And if I see that CM Punk or Paul Heyman knock the promo out of the park, I'll go rewind and watch it on my DVR. Right. Otherwise, I don't have that urgency to watch it live anymore. So I think there's something to be said about the quality of the show itself, too. Which goes back to my original question that, you know, TNA has been putting on pretty decent quality shows. Does that mean they're being rewarded by Spike, or is Spike just so head up their ass, mancers, that they just don't give a shit? Honestly, I think we're not really split down the middle, but I don't think we're going to come to a conclusion on that one tonight.
Well, I mean, they don't really have that much on that network, really, still. And I have no idea what their other ratings are, but, I mean, I have no idea what their other shows are.
When they showed Way number 932 to die, I mean, the ratings were just...
Yeah, jump the shark. There it went.
I'm looking up to see what else they have on here. So,
yeah, the only thing that Mansers came in handy for was one day idiot intern pondered how many pounds of beef jerky comes out of a single cow, and they actually had that answer on Mansers.
Oh my God! Nice. That's awesome.
I honestly forget what it was, but I did look it up back at the time.
That's limiting the cow. I mean, you could use part of the cow for beef jerky, and you can make some steak, and, you know. Like, why are you just focused on beef jerky? I don't know.
Very nice.
Because he's a moron is why.
Because he's aptly named. He's an idiot.
Yeah, no, the guy was going to Big Lots and, like, buying out their stock in beef jerky for a while.
Now, I've been to discount stores along those lines. I'm telling you that I know Big Lots cannot possibly have good-tasting beef jerky.
Yeah.
That's got to taste like dog food.
I think I tried a piece because he was he had eaten a piece of like a habanero beef jerky, so he wanted me to see how hot it was.
Gotcha.
And the verdict is?
It was pretty hot, but it was some really shitty beef jerky.
Pretty hot and shitty. All right, PHS.
Yeah, well, and that's probably what I did the next day, too. Hot shitty.
Did a pretty hot shitty, yeah. Didn't. All right, rapid fire Mount Rushmore. Starting with Kevin, top four snack foods, go.
Snack foods?
Snack foods. We're talking about beef jerky.
Oh, yeah. Well, right now snack foods are different than munchies, aren't they?
Well, it depends on how you're feeling that moment.
So they're all munchies.
Yeah.
They're always munchies.
My habits now tend towards Sun Chips, Cheetos, Cheez-Its, and these new sun-dried tomato wheat thins. They're awesome.
Yes, they are. I agree with you completely. And I'm going to guess that the sun chips are some version of cheese also. Maybe.
Well, I get those from Sam's Club, so I get the giant pack that has cheddar cheese, sour cream and onion. What's Oh, the original and the good, the best ones for that are the Garden Salsa.
There you go. Very nice.
I wish they had the Monterey Jack jalapeno ones that I get at Firehouse Subs all the time.
There you go. I was just wondering how many of your favorite snack items had cheese powder on them. So we got 3 out of 4, so that's awesome. Jeremy, Mount Rushmore of snack foods, go.
Fritos, Scoops, Cool Ranch Doritos, a plain can of Pringles, and, well, regular Fritos, really.
Nice. Very nice. Dusty, top 4 snack foods, Mount Rushmore.
I gotta set these people straight, Eric.
Please do.
These lists are sad.
I can't sit idly by and listen to Fritos, so please.
Are you out of your fucking mind? Fritos are the greatest snack food. Sorry, I'll let Jesse go first. Nope.
Oh, okay, yeah. Okay, we'll live in delusion land. That's fine. Okay, you know.
Paul's
we'll live in, we'll go to Wrongville tomorrow. You and I.
Wrongville.
The best snack chip is Munchos, you idiot. Munchos.
Oh, God damn it.
Best bang for your buck is Munchos.
He's right.
Also,
yeah,
Slim Jims,
right.
Munchos, Slim Jims, Peanut M&Ms, and Sprees.
Sprees.
When I go to the movie theaters, I always get a thing of Sprees.
Nice. That is an excellent,
that's the definitive
tangy
list.
That's an excellent tangy sugary snack. I like that. I got to disagree with Slim Jim a little bit. To me, it's a little too greasy. I got to go with Jack Link, beef jerky, for
acceptable
sure.
Okay.
I'm a Skittles guy as far as my tangy, sugary snacks go. I like Spree, don't get me wrong, but if I dig into a bowl of candy and I pick up and they tell me grab one, and in my hand is Skittles and Spree, I put the Spree back. I'm a Skittles guy.
Okay. I will
you know,
tell you this. Skittles made honorable mention on my list, so it's
okay.
Solid score.
Fair enough. Now, did you say peanut butter M&Ms or peanut M&Ms?
No, peanut.
Peanut, okay, good. I'm thinking when I was a kid, it was Cichlids, and all those are chocolate. But in my older, refined taste age, I'm going to agree with you on peanut M&Ms. And side note, including a package of peanut M&Ms in an envelope with a Hold for Swank CD is the reason that we got music on the Bad Girls Club on television, because I found out the woman in charge of music production likes peanut M&Ms.
Oh, nice.
So, and you get some nutritional value out of them also.
Trick of the trade.
Hot tip from a musician. Munchos. Those are the things, I don't know why I'm having a brain fart because I'm agreeing with you, but those are the things that are lots of stuff put together in one bag, all covered with cheese powder, right?
No.
No.
What the fuck are Munchos then? What are the, okay, or better yet, what is the stuff called where you got Doritos and Rolled Gold and Cheetos and something else and they're all covered with cheese powder? What is that?
Oh, I get those sometimes at Sam's Club too.
Are they called Munchies?
Yeah, I think it's just called Munchies.
Okay, so that's where Dusty and I part. Is you go with the Munchos, I go with the Munchies.
I think everybody on this show goes with Munchies every night.
I think you're right. Oh, my God. Well, there we go. Inconclusive, but up for grabs, up for debate on Twitter, on Facebook.
If we were going to throw candy in there, I would have said Sour Patch Kids, just to throw that out there.
It's a snack. Why wouldn't you?
I don't know. I never considered like candy a snack.
South Carolina and slap you in the face. What the hell is happening here?
I never considered candy a snack. I don't know why. I just considered it candy.
What else
like,
do you eat it for dinner?
Well, you don't get it. I mean, I don't know. I just never considered like buying like a bag of Sour Patch Kids like a snack. I mean, I don't know what like just something to eat on. Like a snack, you purposely go and get like a bag of chips or something, and like candy's just always around. Maybe I grew up in the wrong sort of household where candy was always around, but it never seemed like a go-get sort of item.
Okay. Gotcha. Fair, I guess, yeah. When we're on road trips, we get Twizzlers. So, I mean, I'm not going to put it in my top 4, but to me, that's a snack food.
Yeah, how did I forget Twizzlers? Now, if I would have gone chocolatey, you got to go with Reese's Pieces, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Reese's Pieces. I used to buy a giant bag of Reese's Pieces before I went out skateboarding.
Nice. And you've been on a sugar rush ever since.
Yep.
Twizzlers awesome. Have a special place in my heart because that's the food I would always sneak into the movie theater. Including one time in July. It was a July. I remember that because I was wearing a winter coat. Stuffed with Twizzlers.
Nice. The story would only be better if once you got in the movie theater, you're opening your coat up to kid. Hey, kid. You want some Twizzlers?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, kid. And they're like, I saw you on Oprah. Mm. I'm supposed to say no. Oh, well, good. I'm glad that we solved all the world's problems as far as shitty professional wrestling booking and as far as too many pay-per-views and two-headed girl babies and excellent snack food.
Yes. Next show is cancer.
Next show is going to be hosted by Keith Morrison of Dateline NBC. All right,
I have no idea who that is.
Keith Moore, he's the guy with the white hair and the huge jaw on Dateline.
Yeah.
Ooh.
I'm trying to find a picture of him. There we go. I'm trying to find the single easy picture of Munchos. He's a bitch. They're only $2. That's not bad. I'll have to pick some of those up tomorrow.
I thought you were looking for my avatar for Twitter.
So.
There you go.
I like my Twitter one. So.
I'm going to tweet a picture of Keith Morrison when I get off the phone, by the way, because I doodled the greatest doodle of Keith Morrison ever, then I took a picture of it with my cell phone. Mm. So that may actually be my new Facebook avatar here in a few minutes. Ooh, murder. Ooh. Ooh, vagina. Anyway, all right. Well, folks, man, you can only hope for another 200. And God, number.
Yeah, I get the feeling if we get to 400, we won't even be talking about wrestling by then. So
we'll be an entertainment blog, I guarantee.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we kind of are now, but it's for our own entertainment. That's about it.
Well, there you go. Well, Jeremy, do you want to do all the, what do you call that? The shout-outs or what the hell do you call that? The teasers or whatever?
The plugs, I think.
Plugs, yeah. See, this is
not really plugs, but... All right, so if you like the show, you didn't like the show, you can let us know, stuntgranny@gmail.com. You can actually post comments in the, at the bottom of the thread. As we said last week, Eric's well aware that people can do that. You can follow us on Twitter. We're at stuntgranny. I'm at, Granny Maze. Kevin is DeFrango11. Eric uses stuntgranny and Dusty is Dusty Heaving. You can subscribe to us on iTunes. Put in Stunt Granny or Stunt Granny Audio Show. I had to resubscribe to us for some reason last week. It was kind of a bitch to find, so if you have any problems, let us know. They download as soon as we post them, so, you know, they don't really care about content, apparently, or copyright or slander or whatever else.
Yeah, fuck you, Midland, Michigan.
Yeah, so there's that. So, all right, I'm out of here.
There you go. I think I'm going to do the same thing. I'm going to go watch Abby and Brittany. The rerun's on right now. I'm going to get the hell out of here.
Ow.
What are you thinking, Kevin? Well, my roommate was generous enough to actually pay for some beer after filching mine for the past 3 months. So evidently I am going to have a quality canned Miller Lite when I get off the line here. So night,
yeah.
Grandkids.
I'm a big spender.
Yeah.
All right. Well, for cheap alcohol, for Kevin DeFrango, Jeremy Mays, Eric Nelson, two-headed shows, and fake mustaches, I'm Dusty Giebink, and this has been Stunt Granny Audio number 200. And we'll try to do better next time. Cranberry sauce.
Up my ass.
All right. There we go. Number 200 in the book.